When you're sitting in the shambles of life, when it seems like everything has absolutely fallen apart, what do you do? Where do you go? How do you find relief? How do you find hope? Or is there none? Oh, beloved, there is hope. And the God of all hope says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty deeds that you know not. Well, look at that today. As we look at Jeremiah 32, 33, and 34 this week, as we look at the fact that Israel, Judah, is on the brink of captivity, as we see Jeremiah shut up in the court of the guardhouse, a prisoner, and outside the walls of the city is the king of Babylon, trying to destroy and going to destroy that city, and Jeremiah knows it. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah in the midst of all that circumstance. And what does God say to him? Listen carefully. Chapter 33, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time, while he was still confined in the court of the guard. Now, when you're studying your Bible, and we tell you this, you want to pay attention to the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, and the how. If you'll learn to read the Bible, and that's what Precept Ministries International is all about, teaching you how to discover truth for yourself, teaching you how to read the Bible so that when you get up and you close it and you walk away, you don't leave the Word of God behind forgetting what you've read, but the Word of God goes with you because it's in your heart, because it's in your mind, and you're able to meditate on these truths all day long. And as you continue to walk, then the Spirit of God takes the things that you have learned because you've studied to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed. And then what you have is you have the answers from God. You have the Spirit of God saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. So what we teach you to do is we teach you to mark geographical locations so that you know where something is taking place. We teach you to mark with a green circle references to time. You double underline in green every geographical location. What's the geographical location of Jeremiah chapter 33? It's that here is Jeremiah. And he's in the court of the guardhouse. When is the time? God is speaking to him a second time. He's already spoken, and we see that in Jeremiah chapter 32. Now he's speaking to him a second time. What did he tell Jeremiah the first time? Remember, it's the theme of our study this week. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? And you know what? You're supposed to answer, no, there's nothing too difficult for you because you are the Lord, because you are the God of all flesh. But now watch what he reminds him here, because this is what he says. It says, now watch. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time. Put a clock there. You say, I wish I could know how to do this. Hey, you're new, aren't you? Listen, you can go to preceptsforlife.com and you can find out how to download all this information, how to download a study guide, how to go ahead of us and study and mark the text and then listen to us. You can go to our e-store, and when you get to our e-store, you're going to be so excited at all the things that you're going to find that can help you, and the classes that we have, and where you can join with others locally and be in a fellowship and have one another to support you. We're a ministry that is dedicated to establishing you in God's Word. We want you to become an exemplary follower of Jesus Christ. We want to show you how to study the Bible inductively, how to view the world biblically, and how to make disciples intentionally, so that it doesn't stop with you, but it goes to someone else, like it's going from me to you and from our staff here and our team and all that it takes, the hundreds that it takes to do what we're doing in your life. And we thank you for your support. We really greatly need it, because we're in 150 countries. We're in 70 languages. You see people starving. You see them malnourished, and you see the effects of famine on them, and you want to send your money to give them a bowl of food, which is good. But you see, we're looking at the people that are spiritually victims of a famine of the Word of God. We're looking at people that are skin and bone spiritually, that have no strength, no stamina to stand and to walk through the day. And so you, when you support this program, you enable us to feed those that are spiritually malnourished. And listen, if you only give them bread for their life and not bread for their soul, you've missed it, because they're going to perish. So thank you for this. And thank you for coming online and joining us and learning how to study the Bible, because we not only want you to make disciples intentionally, but we want you to serve the church faithfully in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do you need to know? Well, he goes on to say, okay, you're in the court of the guard. I'm speaking to you a second time, and this is what I'm saying to you. Verse 2, thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it, the Lord who established it. The Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. You're in a difficult situation, as Jeremiah was. You've got the enemy outside the gate. You're living in shambles. What are you going to do? You need to remember who he is, first of all. He says, I am the Lord. The one that is speaking is the one who made the earth. I'm the one who formed it. I'm the one who established it. I am God. The Lord is my name. Now listen, how did he form the earth? Hebrews 11 says that he brought the earth into existence, everything, by the word of his mouth. That is the power of God's word. But not only did he form it, but he established it. And we see that Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1 also was involved in the creation, but is also the sustainer. He holds everything in place, beloved. So in the midst of all these shambles, the God that you're going to learn about, or the God that you are learning about, is the Lord. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who formed it. He's the one who established it. The Lord is his name. And the word Lord here is all in caps. And that means it is Yahweh, Yehovah. It is the name of God. In Exodus chapter 3, when Moses said, who shall I say sent me? He says, say, I am. He says, this is my memorial name to all generations. I am everything and anything that you will ever need. I am Yehovah. I am Yahweh. Means one and the same, two different pronunciations for various reasons I won't go into now. But what he's saying is I'm the self-contained God. And if I'm the self-contained God, if I need nothing, if I am totally God, and I am the one that brought this world into existence, I'm the one that established it, who are you going to run to in the time of difficulty? Call to me. Call to me. Call to me. And I will what? Answer. You say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I have been. You don't know. I can't call to you because I don't deserve to have you answer me. Honey, it's not a matter of whether you deserve to be answered or not. It's because God is God. And because he's merciful, because he's compassionate. You saw what he just said. You saw it yesterday. You saw that here they are going into captivity, and yet God promises he's going to restore them. Oh, beloved, beloved, just listen. Quit arguing with God. Quit looking at yourself. Look at God. He says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. You cannot imagine what God has for you. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are broken down to make a defense against the siege ramp and against the sword. While they are coming to fight with the Chaldeans and to fill them with anger with the corpses of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my wrath, and I have hidden my face from all the city because of its wickedness, behold, behold, I will bring to it the city I'm about to destroy. I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them and I will reveal to them, now listen, an abundance of peace and truth. Peace and truth. Do you really know truth? Do you really know God? Do you really understand who he is? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me, except through Jesus, except believing that Jesus, the Son of God, came to die, to pay for your sins, to be buried, to be raised from the dead, to die no more, so that you and I, who were dead in our sins, might have forgiveness of sins. This is Jeremiah 31. And that we might be forgiven, and that God might put his law in his heart and his spirit within us. Oh, beloved, do you know who he is? Are you calling on him? He says, I will bring to it health and healing. Jeremiah. Aren't you learning so much not only about Israel, but so much about God, so much about the promises of God and what he has to say to us and who he is. And honestly, as you look at Jeremiah 32, 33, and 34, what you have is you're seeing a God of covenant, a God that makes a promise and keeps it, a God that watches over his word to fulfill it, either for judgment, which he has to do because he's holy and righteous, or for restoration. And so in the midst, in this portion of Jeremiah, what God has done as he has put these incidences together, because Jeremiah is not chronological, as you already know. He'll go from Jehoiakim to Zedekiah, from Zedekiah back to Jehoiakim, but he's thematically putting it together. And in this portion, which starts in Jeremiah 31 with this promise of a new covenant and the promise that because God is God and because the sun comes up every morning and because it goes down every night and because the sea is kept at bay, etc., you can trust him. So now what he's showing us is you can trust him. He made a covenant for the land. And he promised them that they would possess that land forever. Oh, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, he says, behold, verse 6, let me read it to you again. I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them. I will reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. And this is a word that he uses over and over again in Jeremiah. Well, he uses it more than once. He uses it more than twice. He says, I will restore their fortunes. So if you're sitting in the middle of a crumbled life, it's not over, and it's not over because God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has said, call to me and I will answer you. There's no qualifications. There's not call to me if you've been righteous. Call to me if you haven't really messed up. Call to me if I like you. Call to me. No, he says, call to me. I'm the Lord. I am the one that formed the earth. I'm the one that established it. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So he's saying in verse 7, I will restore the fortunes of Judah. He says, and the fortunes of Israel. I haven't forgotten the northern kingdom, and will rebuild them as they were at first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. Now watch, their iniquity, their sins, their transgressions. He says, I am going to cleanse it all. They've done it against me. But because he's God, he's going to cleanse. Run to the New Testament with me. Run to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And in verse 9 it says, and he's speaking to children of God. He says, if we confess our sins, if we name them, the word in the Greek is homo logeo. And it is homo, the same logeo, which is the word. In other words, if we name our sin, if we say I lusted, if we say I cheated, if we say I coveted, if we say I lied, if we say I stole, if we say I was unjust, whatever, we name it. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I was teaching my class at Tennessee Temple University Yesterday, and I was talking about this cleansing, and one of my guys in my class, one of my athletes, was going like this, and I said, you know what? I use the same symbol for cleansing, because we were talking about the cleansing power of God. We were looking at in the Gospel of John and how Jesus cleanses us with His Word. Isn't it wonderful? And with His blood. So He's saying, yes, you've sinned. Yes, I'm going to judge you. Yes, you're going to taste the ramifications of all of that. But know this, I will restore your fortunes. And in order for their fortunes to be restored, they have to deal with their sin. They have to repent of their sin. They have to return to God. And you're going to see that. You know, He says, and we've already seen it, you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, He says in Jeremiah. So right now, this is what He's saying to them. And He says, I will cleanse them from their iniquity. Verse 9, it will be to Me a name of joy, praise, and glory before all the nations of the earth, which will hear of all the good that I will do for them. In other words, watch what happens to Jerusalem. Watch what I do to my city. Watch what I do to my land. Watch how I bring them back from all the earth and put them in. And all the nations are going to hear of that. And they're going to be awed at God. So beloved, when you're sitting in the shambles, the difficulties of your own making or the makings of others, just know this, when the restoration comes, God gets the glory. And you let Him know, hey, this came because I called to God, and He's the God of all flesh, and nothing is too difficult for Him. You know, when you read through the Bible, and you should be doing that, I put a red C over every time it says cry, and you see that when they cry to God, God hears. He's a merciful God. He says, he goes on to say, it will be a name of joy and praise and glory before all the nations of the earth, who will hear of all the good that I will do for them, and they will fear and tremble because of all the good and all the peace that I make for it. Now, why on earth are the nations going to tremble? Why are they going to tremble when they see that? Because you know what? They're going to see, hey, He is God. He is God. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing, too difficult for Him. I cried, He heard, He answered. He restored Jerusalem, and the nations are going to know that their gods are false gods. They have ears that do not hear. They have eyes that do not see. They have hands that cannot move. They have feet that cannot walk. They have to be carried about, borne on little stretchers or platforms. You set food before them. You have to take the food away because they can't even eat. Those are their gods. This is our God. And then He says, thus says the Lord, yet again, it will be heard in this place of which you say, it is a waste, without man, without beast, that is the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man, without inhabitant, without beast. This is what you will hear. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who say, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And of those who bring a thank offering to the house of the Lord, for I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were at first. Isn't He awesome?
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Oh, beloved, as we wrap up today's lesson, I want to make sure that you understand that we're not taking restore these fortunes so far that we think that, okay, in this life, I'm going to get back everything that I lost. Or in this life, if I call on God, then God is guaranteeing me that He'll restore my family, He'll restore my marriage, He will restore this. No, that is not the guarantee. That is not the guarantee. The guarantee is that there will be love and there will be joy and there will be peace and there is a new Jerusalem and there is the city of God and there is a day coming when there are no more tears, no more sorrow, no more death. So don't think everything is resolved here and now in the here and now. I live with a broken relationship that if I didn't know the Word of God, if I didn't understand who God was, would literally demoralize me, make me impotent, and really, in a sense, unable to serve the Lord because I don't have what I wanted, what I dreamed of, etc. I've got an adversary of my own flesh and blood out there. But how do I live with that? How do I walk in His joy and in His peace and all of that? Because I know God. I know that He's the Lord. I know that He's the God of all flesh. I know that nothing is too difficult for Him. I know He can restore this relationship. I know He may not, but I know that whatever He's doing, He's causing it to work together for my good and for His glory. And I know also that He has me on display. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, the end of Romans 8. After He says, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Then He comes down and says, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We are put to death all day long. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. And then it says, I'm convinced that neither life nor death nor principalities, etc. And He goes through a list, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're going to suffer in this life. All who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It says it in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and other places. But that's not the end. There is a day of restoration. And that day of restoration comes even for Israel and for us when the King of Kings returns. Look up. He's coming.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.